It's the Barry Pod on 99.3 thevine.com.
We're going to spend extra time with our state senator who's into the final few weeks of being in that job, right? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. When does it wrap up?
It's like Monday, December 2nd. I'm saying that, you know, the new guy, Christopher Gabaldon, I'm positive he's going to win. He'll be sworn in, and then I start getting sworn at.
I got to say, I was thinking about this the other day, kind of the end of an era in the sense of Napa County having the representation at this level. It's been difficult historically for that to happen because Napa County is a much smaller place in the district. And I don't know if you look out into the future, do you see ever getting back to that level of having a state representative from Napa County?
You know, I think you're right. It is difficult, but in the right circumstances, absolutely. It's all a matter of, you know, looking at the politics of the district and what really makes sense. It generally will be like Yolo County, somebody from Davis, or like Christopher is from West Sacramento. We know in the assembly seat you've got Cecilia Aguiar Curry that's from Winters, so that's Yolo County. And then. Prior to that, Lois Woke and Mariko Yamada, they were all Yolo County. Napa has not had somebody since Mike Thompson. And Mike Thompson was a senator in the same seat. Little different. I mean, the districts are always a little bit different, just depending upon the way they're drawn. But yeah, I really look ahead and see we've got some great leaders here locally. And you can, in the assembly, if you can forge partnerships, Napa, Sonoma, and Lake, that's kind of what I did, how I got in there. We drew those maps, looked at those, and saw that if we did really well in those three counties, it wouldn't matter what happened in Yolo County, because I was running against the mayor and then the next mayor and the senator's son, frankly, from Yolo County. So yeah, I think we can do it. Mm-hmm. But it would really take the community getting behind. And I'm just so fortunate. You know, this is my 25th year in public service, and the community got really behind me. I mean, I won Napa. Like, I can't even, you would think I would remember these things, but I was very, very grateful that Napa came in so strong, and that's very helpful as well.
Mm-hmm. As you said, 25 years, and part of that was as a county supervisor before you went to the state
15
level.
Years county supervisor, mm-hmm. And then 10 years in the legislature. Mm-hmm.
Does the terming out make sense to you at this point? There's ways to argue this accurately on both sides. I think the longer you're there, the more you know how it works, the more alliances you can build and become a more effective representative for your district, right?
Totally. I mean, those were the rules that I got in under, so I knew them, I understood them, and I'm fine with them. But I will tell you, I think it's ridiculous. We've got 10 people leaving the California State Senate this year that are all experienced. We know where everything is. We have heard it all from all the different lobbyists. We know the issues. We know the budget situation. And I think there's something on the order of total of 35, including the assembly, new people. So 25 assembly members and 10 senators coming in, in this next term, that really, they don't even know where the bathrooms are. And you know, we all started out that way, and you learn on the job. But I would think an age limit or something like that, even in, you know, federal politics, I would suggest that right away.
No one in particular.
Might save ourselves a few problems.
Not naming any names, but...
No names.
A few months ago, you were on the show here on the podcast and everything, and we talked about what has been a prolific career at the state level, particularly of writing legislation. How many bills? 342,000? Something.
Yeah. I think it's... We just got our 126th bill signed into law. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work. And I will tell you, you don't do that by yourself. I get a lot of pats on the back and credit and everything, but you got to have an amazing staff, which I do, both locally and in the Capitol. and they just work their tails off. And that's every bill that you write. And to get 125, you have to write maybe 200 or so. Not all the ideas are good ideas, but you've got to work them, and you've got to have people that do the research, you know, work with local communities, like on our Skyline, you know, park bill that we were able to get Skyline, park sold to the county of Napa. You know, my guy, Alex Pater, had to do a lot of work behind the scenes with the county of Napa, a lot of that. So I give a lot of credit to my staff.
Which is great, but still, compared to a lot of other representatives, Assembly and Senate, I mean, there's people who go through their entire career and never author a bill.
It is amazing. You wonder what they're doing there. You know, and I commuted back and forth going home, and they live up there. So it is interesting how and why that happens. People have different priorities, I guess, but... I really looked at this as a really special district that I'm in. I go from West Sacramento all the way to Rohnert Park. So it's six counties, 22 cities. And I just think it's a great district. And a lot of the bills that I do are helping cities and counties in my district, because I'm a former local elected official. I see the importance of that. But a lot of them were really kind of stepping out. I never thought on, October 7, 2017, that all of a sudden I'd be called on to know all things about utilities and wildfire and CAL FIRE and insurance and all these different things. But you do what you have to do, and you study and you learn. And I was appointed to the insurance committee, the energy utilities and communications committee, which I wasn't on before. But the pro tem, Tony Atkin, just said, "Hey, you're in the thick of it in Napa, Solano, and Sonoma counties. I want you to sit on these committees." So we did a lot of work in those areas.
Out of those bills that you authored and got passed, is there something that stands out when you, if you had to rack up your, top three most important things that I feel like I achieved in this career in Sacramento?
Yeah. One of them, I was Governor Brown, Jerry Brown, appointed, he asked for a conference committee on wildfire at the end of our session in 2018, because we just hadn't accomplished enough in our session, that year. And I was named chairman of that conference committee. So that's 10 people in the five from the Senate, and five from the Assembly, and the bill, SB 901, was my bill. And basically what it did is it created a framework for what needed to be done in the state of California. We had all these rules and regulations that you couldn't cut down a tree. Private property couldn't, even on its own property. And we all need to understand that climate change is here, and we know that trees are good for our environment, but at some point in time, it provides fuel for fires. And if you look at what the tribal nations did, centuries ago, it was probably on the order of about 120 trees per acre. But in our areas, rural areas, they're like 300 to 400 trees per acre. So that's not good. So we were able to set that up. We were budgeting $30 billion a year for, $3 billion a year for wildfire, to put out wildfire suppression, mm-hmm. and zero for prevention, mm-hmm. zero. Yeah. And so we got the first $1 billion ever in the state for prevention. And today I'm proud to say we've worked in the budget and everything. We're up to almost $3 billion. For prevention. And that's not going to change. I think I've said this to you before. It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You start at one end, finish at the other, and then you go back and start over. That's what our future is like. And we can't, particularly in this community, sometimes I get really worried that we're oh, the fires are over. We don't have any problems. Oh, it's the county's problem, not the city's problem. Well, you know, when we have a fire, these big fires, number one, all the kids don't go to school because of smoke. And so parents that have to go to work have to juggle their schedules. That affects everybody. And then weddings don't happen in the wine country. Conventions don't happen. They all get canceled. So the city loses TOT. The county loses TOT. So it is a really big deal. And I really believe we've got a great FireWise program, the FireWise Foundation in this community. I'm so proud of the work that they do. And they're continuing to do it. But boy, without the appropriate funding, that's just not going to... It's not going to be sustainable, yeah. So we need to do something about it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Got to keep your eye on the ball about wildfire forever.
Forever.
It's not, it doesn't come to an end.
That's right.
It's Bill Dodd Day here on Wine Country Live.
Well, so, you said it was Bill Dodd Day. Yeah. Aren't I here all day?
Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay.
We'll have some lunch brought in. State Senator Bill Dodd. We're doing a sort of a farewell tour appearance starting today. You're going to be like the Rolling Stones. You'll do farewell tours for about 10 years.
Yeah. God, I hope not.
Sponsored by the AARP.
Yeah.
So, that age limit, that's why I'm all about.
I was asking earlier about what you think of as the big accomplishments in your long career in Sacramento. What's something that you didn't get to or couldn't get over the finish line with that you wish you could have if you had another chance?
It's clear and present in my mind. I've been working on this bill for, I'm going to say, the better part of 4 years. And it really started, people out, in Napa County know the name Betty Rhodes. She passed away last year, and she was actually my ex-mother-in-law. And just a great lady. And I appointed her to the Commission on Aging. And I created a monster, only in the best way. And she was just passionate about senior issues. And she would just, hey, Bill, every time she'd talk to me, here's what's going on. Well, what's been going on over the last 5-6 years is seniors just continue to get scam after scam after scam. And I can just remember, my mom's sitting, alone at night, my dad was no longer around, and she'd get a phone call. And people just love companionship. They love to communicate. But today, the communication is on the phone. A text comes to him and says, hey, do you know that we can, take your money and multiply it by double overnight? And basically what was happening is, and it's still happening, people go to the bank and want to wire money. And bankers, financial institutions, in some cases, are helping the perpetrators take money from these seniors. And it was just so annoying to me when I was hearing about this. One woman, Alice Lee, from down in Southern California, she came and testified on my bill twice, both in the Assembly and the Senate. And she lost over $800,000. And she was so ashamed of herself for allowing herself to be put in that position that this is why she came. I mean, it was almost like I have to admit to everybody how dumb I was. I said, no, this is not what this is all about. So anyway, what we did is we ran it a couple of years ago. It got held in appropriations. Appropriations, the banking industry is a very powerful industry, and they got it held. This year, I wasn't going to let that happen. I know the banking chairman really well in the Assembly, and I said, hey, listen, Tim, I need to get this through before I leave. He goes, well, I think it's a tough... people are afraid of a number of... First of all, let me just say, a lot of the local banks, they already do this. They ask questions to their customers. And I was really happy. I went to Mechanics Bank to wire some money for some business thing I was doing. And they said, hey, do you know who you're... I said, of course I know who this is. And would you answer a few questions? Sure. I mean, it's very easy to do. And the credit unions do a great job. Redwood Credit Union we have here, Travis Credit Union, they all do a great job with this already. But we don't do legislation for the ones that are doing a great job. We do it because people are missing the mark. So essentially, we worked with the banks. We did, he held it after year one. We had a hearing in mid-year last year at about this time. And then we proceeded to do it. And I got to the point where I got all the opposition off from the credit unions, all the opposition off from the small community banks, and the big banks, even Chase, said, we're fine with this. Thank you for working with us. And it was really a win-win situation. And I'm just going to go on record and say Wells Fargo Bank and their lobbyist sandbagged us the whole time when we're talking to the governor's office. And the governor's, a lot of times staff, I told you what a great staff I have. I take advice from my staff. I can't read 2,500 bills, so we divvy those things up, and then I get briefed on, you know, the bills as they come. So the governor's briefings are the same thing. He has to sign, you know, or veto all those bills. And he had a staff person that was really aligned with this lobbyist from Wells Fargo Bank. And at the end of the day, Governor Newsom vetoed it 2 weeks ago. You know, that's one I really want back, and I'm hoping, you know, Christopher Cabaldon, you know, perhaps runs that, or Cecilia. It is really a good bill. Essentially, it really burns me because so many people are getting hurt by this, and we did all the work. And when the opposition is so strong at the beginning, and you're able to assuage all their concerns with amendment after amendment after amendment, and all the time and effort, and in just one fell swoop, he vetoes the bill.
Politics.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah. And things like that are probably true in every state in the country, but there's a particular argument over state of California in the modern political world. And on the Democratic side, you hear, of course, that the economy, it's the fifth largest economy in the world. We're a state full of innovation, leading the nation and in some places the world in environmental protection and many, many things to tout. But Republicans will say, particularly on the national stage these days, you know, California is a hellscape, can't manage their money, look at their debts, disastrous homelessness problems and so on and so forth. What's the true California story to you?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. You know, I'm a moderate. You know, I was a Republican. I'm a Democrat now. I think I've got all. I voted on some very progressive bills, but I've also, for me, coming from the county of Napa, we went through, when I was a county supervisor during those 15 years, at least two economic downturns. We never had to lay off an employee. Because they always, whether it was Jay Hull or Nancy Watt or Bill Shiat, had really sound fiscally conservative practices. And I know conservative, any word these days is not good in California, but look it, or fiscally prudent. Let's just get another new word, fiscally prudent. And all five board members, the board of supervisors, were that way. And one of the philosophies was, we owe it to the people that we serve not to fail them financially. And I think there's a lot, and this is why I think we need more experience. We have, and there's nothing wrong with young people getting into politics and everything, but it used to be that the Senate, it is the upper house. There's no doubt about that's what it is. But it's also where the more conservative practices, adult, being the adult looking at things, and we've lost that, in our Senate in many respects. But it's hard to find fault with my colleagues wanting to do things for their constituents. And so I really respect them. It's kind of amazing to me. I look back at 25 years in Napa in politics, but in Sacramento for 10 of those 25 years. And I don't think I could tell you on one hand, there's not five people, I don't know if there's three, that I hate. I mean, I really liked people and liked working with everybody. But a lot of times the penchant to get out there and try to help. Like, for example, today we've got arguably a $45 to $60 billion deficit. We are not in a recession. There is no reason for the state of California to be in the situation we are, except for we overspent. And we do not admit that very much.
It's very simple, actually, right?
It's very, very simple. I really respect our leadership. We've got a great leader in Mike McGuire, and on the other side, Robert Rivas. We got a great governor. But you know, George Patton said, if everybody's thinking alike, then somebody's not thinking. Mm. And we have groupthink, and these things sound so great. Like healthcare, Medi-Cal for all undocumented. Well, I support our undocumented community. Look what they do for us here locally in our wine country and everything. But if you don't have the money to do it, we had $95 billion of one-time money. You don't spend one-time money on ongoing programs. And we did. So when all that money's gone, we put on about $30 billion of ongoing expenses. And there were about 10 of us. And when you've got a caucus of 40 total people, 10 doesn't win. You know, it's not like, you know, Napa County or city on any given Tuesday, if you've got two other friends, you can get something done. Well, it's harder in the legislature. But so, yeah, I think we do have some issues and we have to acknowledge those. And I think because of this budget, we will. I think they will. And I think you'll start seeing better results. This idea of California being nuts and everything else, I don't really subscribe to that. You know, clearly we had a homeless problem before COVID, but COVID just made it worse. And nobody's been able to fix this homeless problem. And we're doing everything we can. There's a lot of new things that are going on right now. And I support our governor. We're throwing a lot of money at it. But what we want, the group of 10 that I was talking about, even if the news isn't good, we want accountability. Because that's what the taxpayers deserve, is accountability. Here's how much we spent. Here's how many homeless we took off the street. That's abysmal, but that's, we're going to show a chart every single year. And if we're not able to change, we got to change what we're doing, because doing the same thing over and over again doesn't.
You mentioned in Sacramento, there's three people you hate. Did you want to name them? Or?
They might not be from Sacramento. They might be from Napa. No, I'm not even sure about that. Okay.
I just thought we'd get a breaking story out of that. Martin Caramay is here, and Bill Dodd is our special guest in the studio this morning as well. And you've cooked something up. What is it you want to say?
Well, since it's Bill Dodd Day, I can change the agenda a little bit, right?
Correct.
So I told you what a great staff I had, and Alex Pater from my team here in Napa has brought this into me. And Barry, I have given a lot of proclamations and resolutions and recognitions over my 25 years. And before I left, I wanted to do this, you know, for you, for what you've done for our community. And I can remember, you know, listening to the radio on KVON back in the day, and what you've done for the city of Napa, and what you've done for Lucky Penny, and what you do for our community. And you're just recognized. And I can remember the old names from, you know, KVON back then, and you are them right now.
I am multitudes.
You are multitudes. And I'm not going to read any of this, but I'm giving you a California State Senate resolution in recognition for all that you've done for our community. We so appreciate you and all that you've done.
That's incredible, Bill. Thank you so much. I was not expecting anything. If I thought I would get stuff, I would have you on the show more often. I have to also say to the audience that before you came in, you texted us to say, you guys want anything from Starbucks? You know,
I know you.
What a nice person. What a nice person. I said to Caramay, look, what a nice guy. I showed her the text.
Says, no, if you had asked about a local coffee instead of the commercial.
Yes, we are sponsored. We are sponsored by Ohm Coffee Roasters, just to make that clear.
See, there's a new shop on
Sofi. That's right. There's room for lots of coffee. Room for lots of coffee. So you talked to me about one local issue that you are interested in expressing your opinion on, and it's the sales tax measure that City of Napa voters are going to be voting on. In fact, ballots are in the mail now, so people are starting to fill out their ballots. What do you think about it?
Well, let me just start off with there has never been a local initiative that I haven't supported tax. I mean, it's, you know, it's like I am supporting Measure U, which is the, you know, the extension of the roads. For anybody that notices our roads, if we don't pass that, these roads are going to become third world. So this roads, I mean, it's just, we need that. Our schools, I'm for the Measure B. Our schools need, these are campuses that were built in the 50s and 60s. And here we are in 2024 and they need work. This is not going and the salaries. This is not going for administration. This is going, and if you look what they've done to Napa and Vintage for our athletic fields and for the classrooms and what they've done in the past, you know, they've earned the right to have this, so I'm supportive of it. Now let's move to this Measure G. I think Measure G is irresponsible to the citizens of Napa based on how they've done it. It's unprecedented in Napa County. We've never had any more than 1.5 cent sales tax. This is a full 1 cent. We've never had a tax that was over 20 years in duration. This is forever. We've never had a sales tax that would just go in the general fund without, you know, a program that we could sell to the people. We did that with the flood control. It's harder to get 2/3, but the community voted on our flood control based on what was sold to them by the community, in, you know, the leaders at the time. And look what happened with that flood control. Look what it's done for our city, and, you know, and particularly the city of Napa. And it's raised millions and continues to raise millions of dollars for the city of Napa. So I think it's too much. We're at a time right now, we just talked about the state budget. We had people going with a $60 billion deficit, let's raise taxes. And we even had progressives said, no way. We've got to get in and fix this ourselves. We are not in a recession. And if we were in a recession, I could totally understand it. And I did. I have a lot of respect for Steve Potter, who's a city manager. I consider him a friend, and you know, I raised my family here. I was born and raised here. I raised 5 kids here, and I've got 11 of my 13 grandchildren right here in Napa. I don't want to go against my city. I love my city, and I respect the council members. I thought Luros did a great job on your program. I heard her, I think it was yesterday, and I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, they've got their sales points. But there is way more behind this, particularly the VLF and everything else. If you want to get into that, I'm prepared. But I just think right now, inflation's up, everything's up. It's a regressive tax. They can come back in 2 years or even in 4 years with a program, a working budget, and get this thing done. And I will support it, but it's got to have a program. So that future council members, when they're elected, they know they have to do what the voter said. This is going to go to parks. There's no guarantees this money is going to do anything that these people are saying it was going to do.
If somebody from the city was here to speak on their side, they might say, well, locals need this kind of funding because you bad guys at the state level might take money away. The VLF thing is a state thing. And the state has at times come in and raided local, as you know, local revenues to fill their coffers.
Without a doubt, in this particular case, the VLF, even during my time, I think it was 2 times that we were able to get them to defer it. The state, particularly when their budget isn't great, they're not going to make a long term, you know, a forever. I mean, it's one of the things about them. They would rather do something that makes this problem go away for 4 or 5 years until the next governor or the next finance director is here. But we were able to do that, defer it. Lois Wilk, prior to me, was able to do it as well. We have to understand, the city of Napa says that they've got an $11 million a year problem with this VLF that they think the state's going to take away. Well, between all the cities and the county, it's $50 million. So the idea that the city goes out alone and does this on their own, when, first of all, the budget of the Napa Valley Unified School District, I talked to our great superintendent, Rosanna Musetti, they're not even budgeting for this right now. This is something that's out, you know, in the future. I understand that the city may be worried about it, but this is something in my mind that they owe it to the taxpayers of the city of Napa to fight for this money. Just to give up and say, hey, we're never going to get it, or they're never going to change their mind. Well, I don't think that's the philosophy of the county. I don't think that's the philosophy of the city of American Canyon. We're going to go and fight. And I know Christopher Gabaldon will fight for it. I know that Cecilia Aguilar-Curry will fight for it. But it's got to be, everybody's got to be on the same page and move forward. There's no doubt in my mind, if we got out 4 years and this was going to happen, the state would defer it. We would be able to work a deal where the state would defer it until we could go and put a program together with our voters, if that's what happens. But to me, this is a violation of an agreement that was made with the state and its cities and counties. And it deserves to be fought at the state level. And we're not done with that yet. And this Measure G, part of it, is just a complete abdication, forfeit on the part of the city when they should be fighting for their taxpayers instead of making the taxpayers pay for it.
State Senator Bill Dodd is here with us in the studio. Bill's about 50 days or something away from wrapping up your Senate career. What we'd like to discover is, you know, how much you've really learned over time, all your public service, by engaging in the quiz for today. Quiz Queen Kara May has pulled out some questions. And are you ready? You're on the hot seat
okay.
Now. Here we go.
And it's a general question, so no topic or anything. So first question, what does 1,000 gigabytes equal? Is it 1 megabyte, 1 kilobyte, 1 Googlebyte, or 1 terabyte?
A thousand gigabytes.
You can phone a friend, you know. Barry's
he's on his own.
Oh, okay. No help.
What are the answers?
Megabyte, 1 kilobyte, 1 Googlebyte, or 1 terabyte?
Megabyte.
Ooh, no, it's 1 terabyte.
Okay. Shows my age a little bit, you know?
0 for 1. Here we go. Question number two.
Who sang and recorded the theme song for the James Bond film No Time to Die? Adele, Sam Smith, Billie Eilish, or Alicia Keys?
No Time to Die is the most recent one, I think.
I have no idea.
It's been the last couple of Bond films.
This is why
films.
I asked the question.
I'm just going to say Adele. Because I like Adele.
No, it's Billie Eilish.
Adele did the one just before
Adele
that,
too.
I think.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Mary.
Half a point.
Okay, here's a anatomy question. What bone is the patella? The elbow, shoulder blade, kneecap, or tailbone?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say shoulder.
No, it's the kneecap.
See, I looked at my young staff. I'm throwing Alex under the bus right now.
Alex,
you're terabyte. Yeah, okay.
And where were you then?
Okay.
If you get that pain under your kneecap, that's your patellar tendon. That's how I know that because I've had soreness in that.
All right, you're not doing great. But here's another one. How many of Henry VIII's wives were named Catherine? One, two, three, or four?
Alex?
I hope one.
One? I think it's more than one.
It's one. I think it's three.
Yes!
There you go.
You got
Hallelujah.
It.
You saved your bacon. And one more question.
One more question. Emma Bunton is known as which Spice Girl? Scary Spice, Baby Spice, Sporty Spice, or Posh Spice?
We know she's not posh because that's Victoria Beckham.
Okay.
Right.
You got a little phone a friend in
so
there.
Say this.
Emma Bunton. So scary, baby, or sporty?
She sounds scary.
She's Baby Spice. Baby Spice. So, okay. Well, you got one out of four.
I could hear 40-year-old women shouting in their cars. They knew the answer.
See, the people out there that are listening right now are really thinking, term limits are great for this guy.
All right. Thanks for doing the quiz. Now, the other big question in my mind, you mentioned 25 years in public service. You've always been a very involved person in the community here in Napa. What's next for you? There was a time when you finished a job like this, it's like, I'm done. I'm going to take a cruise. You don't seem like that kind of person to me.
No, I cannot just stop. I mean, I really feel like I've got more to give. I got more in the tank. Most people, and I'm not complaining because it was just an honor of a lifetime to be able to serve the communities that I serve. But most people don't really, I think, get how much time a legislator puts in. You know, and I'm saying it's probably 80 hours a week, and it could be plus because, you know, there are times where and if you're Mike Thompson, it might be 90, because he is everywhere. But, you'd be at a lunch in Davis and then have to go to Rohnert Park to a reception at Sonoma State University and then have to be back in Napa for something that evening, forgetting that, during the session from January to September, you're working all the, heavy hours. So I still, I'm not going to be working 80 hours, I can assure you. But yeah, I'm going to be consulting locally, trying to help businesses, housing, whatever, people try to get things done in their local communities and also things done. I don't really feel like I want to be a lobbyist and lobby my former colleagues. That just doesn't seem like something I want to do necessarily. But I can be a consultant. I can work with the governor's office, the secretary positions, all the department heads on budget things. So a more high level type of thing. So I'm really looking forward to a new chapter and staying involved.
Mm-hmm. And, ever think about being a fill-in morning show host once in a while? I could use people.
I'll tell you, I worked at KVON. I think I told you this mm-hmm. once. Mm-hmm. When I was a high school student at Justin Siena, and I did an evening Beatles, Beach Boys, and 50s program for 1 hour. And I loved being a DJ. And then, my next thing, and still to this day, we all loved Ira C. Smith. And I got to do a baseball game with him once. And it brought memories back to how, Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons and, my son Brian said to me, Dad, you got a face that's only good in radio, so good luck today. But that would have been something I would have loved to have done more of.
And lastly, a plug for your holiday party. Is it? Did I read correctly? It's the last one?
It's the last one, December 6th, Friday night at Meritage. We are, I've raised over $10 million in the 25 years I've been doing this for different nonprofits in our community. And I've got with the Napa Community Foundation, a donor advised fund. And, I am intending to, I've got money in a campaign account, but which I'm going to be donating to the Napa Community Foundation for the donor advised fund and the money that we've raised over the last 2 years. So we'll have over $1 million. That I'll be able to, give back locally to different nonprofits. It's just something that, it's always been ingrained in me. When I was in business, we did a lot of sponsorships and donated a lot of water and, you know, my parents just always taught me, you know, giving back to your community, giving back. So I'm not going to be giving back in public service necessarily, but it gives me an opportunity to really support these great nonprofits we have in our community. It's insane how hard these people work. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So people can go online to BillDoddHolidayParty.com if they want to sign up for that, or somebody wants to sponsor out there. But we'll have some fun. It'll be, you know, probably 500 or 600 of your best friends. But we do have, do you remember the band that we had last year? Oh, they're...
Wonder Bread Five.
Yeah.
And I think we've had them the last 2 or 3 years. And usually, you know, the other bands I've had, as soon as the auction's over or whatever, people just en masse start going out the door, even though, you know, the band's still playing, nobody wants to dance. With Wonder Bread Five, everybody stays.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're good.
And of course, we've got generous wineries, you know, that are donating wine, and we'll have some, you know, good selections.
Very good. State Senator Bill Dodd, thank you for spending time with us here on Bill Dodd Day on Wine Country Live. You were a lot of fun. And yeah, I know. It's it's amazing, isn't it? Congratulations on all that you've achieved, and thanks for your work on behalf of the people here, and thanks for the proclamation. It really means a lot.
My pleasure, Barry. Thank you. And Karamay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, I enjoy listening to you guys. Still, you know, as I travel around, it's a lot of fun. You do a great job. I appreciate the opportunity for being able to be on here with you this morning.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to The Berry Pod, tastings from Wine Country Live in the morning.
On 99.3, thevine.com.